Lord, we thank you that this afternoon we can sit under your word, and I trust, Lord, that you break our hearts, humble us, that you would then exalt us, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. This afternoon I want to speak about the church that Jesus is building, the church that Jesus is building. And it's going to be a bit challenging. I preached this morning in Sunningdale, and I preached the same message, but I've got it better now than I had it this morning. Always got to have it best for your own congregation. And there was just a wonderful response this morning. People got saved. People were putting their hands up to be baptized. There were people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues for the first time. Just a wonderful time as we got together this morning. And so I have an expectation this afternoon as well. And so the church Jesus is building. Folks, the church that Jesus is building is a transformational church. It changes us. If you look back over your shoulder, even yesterday, have you changed? Has something changed? It can't be the same anymore. It cannot be the same. It cannot continue to be the same. It has to change on a daily basis. And the scripture that I'm going to start with, Matthew 16, verse 18, the church that Jesus is building, in Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Fuck, I want to say, if the devil is winning in your life, that is not the church of Jesus Christ. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail. That doesn't mean we on the defensive, it means we on the offensive. We got to be forcing back, pushing back on a daily basis. Yes, every now and again, I did boxing for a while. And the reason I stopped was, even when you win, you get hurt. You know, you give the do-do and you get do back. So even though you hit him more times than he hits you, you still get hurt. And that's what it's like in the kingdom of God. We're fighting. We're moving forward all the time. We're keeping that jab up. I was a southpaw. You can see that right on. And you keep going forward, but you're going to get hit on the nose. My son at one stage, he thought he was the big deal. He went to go and learn how to box, and he actually became pretty good. And he was boxing and boxing. He said, "Hey, Dad, won't you just throw some punches at me, and I'll block them and keep them out?" I said, "Are you sure about that?" He said, "No, I can do that. I'll block them. I'll stop you from hitting me." I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." You see, but the problem was, he had trained against orthodox, left arm forward. And so when he stood up to fight me now, he saw me coming with a, "Your dad, no, that's a boo." And I promise you, he weighs a lot more than me, and he's a lot stronger than me. But I punched him. Me and my boys, we have a wonderful relationship. We rough with each other. Even from a small age, I would take them on the double bed. Patty used to go mad. She'd get off that bed. And I used to throw them, because I believe that if your son experiences your strength when they're young, they'll remember when they're old. And my boys, you can ask Patty, I am by far the smallest out of the four boys that I have now. Two of them, well, Daniel, you probably know, he's a big guy. Joel is not much smaller than him and probably weighs a bit more than him. And Seth, he's the like, Kwame Gra, kick you, hit you. Like, I just stay away from him. But you know what? We can't live on the back foot. I've always taught my sons that. You've got to live on the front foot. You can't punch from the back foot. You can only punch off the front foot. And you need to use your waist. You need. And so I've taught them everything I knew, which wasn't much. But my dad used to say, hit first and kick second when they fall down. So he said, if you hit first and kick second, you'll win every fight that you're in. And so it worked pretty well with me. Luke 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released and the blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. The early church was liberational. Where they went in the early church, when they prayed for people, when they laid hands on people, people were set free. Their sight was restored. Not only, we always think, oh, spiritual sight. Let me tell you, physical sight. Spiritual sight is actually more important than physical sight. And so we see these guys. This is Jesus talking, but he's talking about the early church. The oppressed will be set free. Don't you want to pray for people and they set free? Hey, I just love it when demons manifest. People get scared. I think this is, here we go. Because you know what? In the name of Jesus, we have authority over those things. They have no authority over us. And so we've often seen demons come out of people when people are running for cover. But Patsy and I, we know this is it. This is, for me, the biggest demonstration of the kingdom of God is to see a demon come out of somebody and be set free. It's amazing. It's incredible. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1 to 5. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. The testimony, the witness, I've seen it. For I determined, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Revelation. The New Testament church is a church of revelation. What does that mean? It's a word used so often in the church. For me, revelation means something that was once in darkness has now been brought into the light. And the only way that can happen is when you encounter Jesus Christ. You can't worship Jesus without a revelation of Him being the Son of God. You can't. You'll try and you'll sweat and you'll do a whole lot of work. But you know what? You won't encounter Jesus without a revelation. And so you need to be asking on a regular basis, Lord, give me a revelation of you. I want to see you. I want to see you lifted up. I want to see what you're doing in my life and the lives of those around me. In the church that Jesus is building, there is revelation. It's God revealed. It has my attention. It's not my wisdom. How many times are you asked something and you answer out of what you know? When people come to me and they ask me to pray for them in a certain area of their life, won't you pray for me this? Or they'll come and ask me a question like, Mo, Roland, do you want to have a haircut? Then out of revelation, I'll say no. When people ask you something, do you just answer or do you, in God, what are you saying, Lord? What do you want for this person? What I'm hearing, is that what you want for them? And so don't be quick to respond. I know it's a bit of a cliche when people say, I'll pray about it, but I mean that when I say it. I'll pray about it. I will go and pray about it, and I'll get back to you, and I'll give you an answer that I believe is from Jesus. Not from Roland and his experiences. A lot of the questions you ask me, I will be able to just answer. But I could be wrong, and I don't want to do that. I was just thinking, we were driving through this morning to go and preach in Sunningdale. And we were talking, and we had a little bit of gospel music in the background. Very soft, but... And I thought, you know what? How often at home do we have gospel music in the background, but we're not worshiping God? So I said to Patty, I'm turning the volume up. We're going to worship God while we move towards the Sunningdale. We turned that volume up. Let me tell you, when the car was like, you actually save petrol. Because it drives you down the road. What is that? The church that Jesus is building is a passionate church. Come on, we want Jesus. What do you want to do? How are we going to do this? We've got to be those that are excited, and we want to see the kingdom of God advanced. Because that's what the kingdom of God is doing. That's what the church is doing. It's advancing the kingdom of God. It's not head knowledge. Revelation is not head knowledge, as I said. Something we think about. You know what? We think about it. We talk about it. No, it's something we do. When God speaks to us, we do it. We don't, let me just think about it and talk about it. No, we take it to the Lord. And when He gives us an answer, we do it. We move forward into what God has for us. Resurrection power is one of the major hallmarks that sets apart our Christian faith from others. I ministered up in a place in Pretoria East called Montana. Montana, is that right? And the guy had just come on to staff, so I could see he was really nervous. You know, because this big, powerful man from Cape Town. And he was like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. I could see he was leading the meeting. He was a bit nervous, and he wasn't sure. But he did a good job. And actually, their worship was pretty good. So I stood up, and I began to speak. And I just used that scripture that I used here before I went away, and I'm going to use it again because there seems to be something on it. And when in Acts 13 verse 22, when God says, God removed Saul. Guys, I don't want to be removed. Do you want to be removed? I don't want to be removed. And then He says, God testified about David that he was the apple of His eye, and David would do anything that He wanted him to do. Anything. The reason He removed Saul was the thing that I think I've preached you about, partial obedience. Partial obedience. How many of us get caught up in partial obedience? We do something a little bit, but we don't do all of it. You know, we love the Lord 75%, but not the rest of the 25%. And I really believe it's a lie that the enemy has brought into the church to rob and steal from what God has for you and me. Because when we are living under partial obedience, we cannot live under God's blessing. Saul couldn't live under God's blessing. David lived under God's blessing, even though he did things wrong at times. But he would come before God and say, I repent, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Saul refused to do that. John 3:6, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. I want you to leave challenged today. I really want you, if you leave here and you've never experienced the supernatural move of the Holy Spirit on you and on those around you. I want you to leave here dissatisfied with where you are in God and say, Lord, I need you. I need this in my life. I cannot live without a supernatural touch from you. So often we just live our Christian lives just like anyone else. But you know what? You must not be satisfied, because Jesus is not building a church that operates in the natural. He's building a church that operates in the supernatural. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize. I always use this scripture when it's time to baptize people. This is Paul writing. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. Donnie, you're here to baptize. And not with clever speech. Yeah, especially in winter. We're heading into, you know what? Everyone wants to be baptized in winter. I don't know why, but it's just, that's the way it is. And I'm so glad I got Donnie and Yohandre to do the thing. For fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Guys, if this is a lecture, if you're at varsity, or this is in the schoolroom and I'm teaching you, if that's what it is, we're wasting our time. We want the supernatural things of God. It's not what I say, it's what I say. It's what's imparted. And I've seen men that are not really good preachers, but they have the ability to impart the power of God into people's lives. And I'm trusting God more and more for that. There was a stage in my life when that happened a lot, but I've neglected it, and I've said to the Lord, hey, I'm coming back to where you want me. I'm not living in this place where I'm not building the church that you are building. So we live in the information age. And instead of being transformed, we are being conformed. I watch people on their cell phones. They just scroll like this. You can't read that fast. And they go like this. And there's just like pictures and writing. And you can't read that fast. What is it doing? It's starting, and then every now and again you'll stop on something because it catches your attention. That thing is conforming you to the world. And the more we participate in social media, the more we're going to be conformed. I want to say to you guys, I'm not anti-social media, but you need to have it under control. It's misuse. Not use, that's the problem. It's when we out of control. We shouldn't be doing that. I want to tell you guys, if you are a Facebook friend of mine, if you are, I'll stalk you. Because I want to tell you, Facebook is probably the best shepherding tool that I've ever had. People write on Facebook what they will never write anywhere else. And so I can just, oh, Connie's up to mischief again. I only pick on the people that can handle it. You know what? It'll be good because then I won't spend time on Facebook. That's my only purpose for it. We get squeezed into a mold. Instead of being changed from the inside, we changed from the outside. So it's what people think about you. It's what people say about you. Instead of what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is saying to you. Luke 4 and verse 21, it says, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. So there's the thing. If you haven't been baptized, even Jesus was baptized. As he was praying, who was praying? As Jesus was praying, the heavens opened. and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. As he was praying. Folk, when you pray, say. When you pray, you need to make this still, and you need to make this still. You cannot pray when your heart is in a place where you just emotionally you're being affected from every direction, and you're thinking, oh, you know, you're like Peter and I, you know, like a Man United. We can't pray. Still, so we need to be still. We can't be distracted by sport and or everything that does. And you, when you're praying, you need to be still. Just a tip. If you're praying and things keep on going through your head and you can't concentrate, get a pad and a pen. As the thing comes through your head, write it down. I find it stops me worrying about that. Then another thing comes, I write that down. And then I get back to these things and pray for them later, but it quietens my mind so that I'm able to pray. Can you hear God? Can you hear God? I'm sure you guys, you've been here for long enough to know what I'm going to say. If you can't hear God, when was the last thing you heard him say? Go back to that thing where you last heard him and do that, and then God will begin to move in your life once again. Because God won't move on. You might, but he won't. And then it says, you bring me great joy. Joy is the, in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's not, joy is not, ha ha ha, it's funny. No, joy is something inside of you. I remember a friend of mine, he was an Afrikaans guy, and he was preaching, and he said, joy is dit borrel. It's bubbling out of me. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guys, the church that Jesus is building is this, Luke 19:10. It says he came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come for the saved, although there was no saved before him, but he came to seek and save the lost. We need to be seeking and saving the lost. We bought a new mattress, and I don't know why, but we got this mattress. It's like got a plank. It's hard. Not supposed to be. So anyway, I've been looking, where can I get something to put on it to make it soft? Hey, on social media, there's mattress toppers on everything. But I tell you what, if you want to lose your money, start using those accounts and stuff. Anyway, so we were walking past the shop the other day. And I walked in. And I saw, hey, these oaks have got a mattress topper. So I said to the guy, I want you to put it on a hard bed, because he had one like half size, and I want to lay here, and then I want to lay there. So I laid on the mattress topper. It was really comfortable. I laid on the hard one. It was like my bed. And so I said to him, so what's your name? He said to me, my name's Aaron. Aaron. I said, Aaron. Aaron, do you know that your name is in the Bible? So he says, yeah. So I said, how did you get that name? Obviously, his father gave it to him, his mother, but my mom and dad are Christians, and they actually lead a small community in Robinson at the moment. And so I said to him, you know what? We have to go and fetch the thing on Monday. I found out Josh Jen is in the process of going to start a congregation in Robinson. Things don't happen by chance. Things happen because God directs them. And when I go to see him tomorrow, it's going to be a stretch, but we're going to address this thing. We're going to speak to him about the fact that he told me his dad's in a small community and it sounds like they're not really going anywhere. And so they're looking for oversight and leadership. And yeah, they're looking at planting there in September, October. We trust that something will come out of that. It'll be good for both sides. Romans 5 and verse 4. Oh, this scripture, I've been wrestling with it. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So I looked at this and I thought, you know what? After reading this, I don't think I need to have any changes in my character. That's fine. Because why do I have to go through endurance to develop character? And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You know what? Jesus is building a church that can endure suffering. We can endure suffering. We can go through what we need to go through. And you know what? It's not just for nothing. It's because it strengthens our confident hope of salvation. It gives us strength. Our character is strengthened because of our endurance, and our hope will not lead to disappointment. And this hope, our character, when our character is strengthened, God gives us hope. And then out of hope, you get faith. And then God begins to move in a whole new way in your life. When you see what God has done in your life, he strengthens you. He begins to work in your life. And we need to be those that are prepared to say to the Lord, Lord, if there's something that we need to go through, if we need to learn endurance, if we need to experience suffering, if we need to go through these things so that our character can be shaped and you can fill us with your hope, Lord, I want you to do it. I want to be a person of conviction, not preference. What is a person of conviction? It's someone that goes with what God wants them to do. What is a person of preference? You do what you would like to do. I was so chuffed with Brett when before the meeting, I said to him, Brett, you know the Grand Prix on? He said, of course I know the Grand Prix on. I said, you know what? And it's by conviction, not preference. Let me tell you, me and Brett would like to be watching the Grand Prix. Well, it's probably finished already, so we won't. Nobody look on your phone. That's illegal. But, guys, we cannot be those that live by preference. Oh, no, I don't think I'll go to church this Sunday. I don't think so. I'd rather go and see my friend. Or I'd rather stay at home, or whatever the case may be. Conviction is, Lord, this is what your word says. There are four pillars in the church: apostolic teaching, prayer, fellowship, breaking of bread. Four pillars in the community. You cannot afford to not have those things as a conviction in your life. Ephesians 2:20 says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ. We cannot say one thing and live another thing. Guys, I want to say to you, if you missed the last gathering, that was preference. Because conviction should have said, This is what God has called me to. If you don't believe that you need input from apostolic prophetic teams, you might as well not be with us, because that's what our vision is. That's what our dream is, because they put us on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. So we need apostolic teaching. I want to encourage you. If you haven't already booked to go to the conference, find a way. If it's finances are a problem, you come and talk to us. But don't let anything stop you. It's on a Saturday and Sunday. If you can't go on the Friday, then you can't go because of your work. But you can definitely go Saturday and Sunday. It will change your life as those men minister into our lives. Fellowship. You cannot afford to be on your own, not mixing and being a part of what God is doing. Fellowship. People, oh, but I can't do it because of this and because of that. Let me tell you, devoted to. The word says devoted to. It means to persist with. In that era, the Romans would tie them up and cover them with bitumen and use them as street lamps. But they would still go to fellowship, even though they knew they could get caught, and they could be in trouble. Fellowship, it's so important. The way that I remember fellowship is I always think two fellows in a ship. Was that you? Breaking of bread. I want to say, I apologize, we don't do it often enough, young. We're going to change that. We need to break bread more often. God has given us a way to sort out relational problems in the community. And in your community, you need to be doing it. If your comm leader's not doing it, you need to say to him, hey, when are we going to break bread again? And you know what? Dads and moms, you need to be doing it in your house at home. You know what? If you've got a spouse that's not saved, what about, hey, can't we break bread tonight? What's that? It's just the fact that Jesus died for us. And we want to celebrate that. Don't you want to do that with me? You know what? Most spouses won't object to that. They'll go with that. Because God will soften their heart as well. And then prayer. I don't like to say this, but Ewing, the guy who did the gathering, apostolic guy, he said, Josh, Jen is an incredible church. As Donnie said, how many? 52 to 56 now. The worship is incredible. He says, I've never experienced worship like this. And Ewing is a musician. Him and his wife are incredible musicians. He said, but guys, your prayer is weak. And that was like, guava. Your prayer is weak. You know what? He didn't say this. I'm saying this. If we don't pray, it means we think we can do it without God. Hey? So guys, I want to exhort you. From next week, we're gonna have prayer, and we're gonna have it in that toddler's room. But we're not gonna have this thing over here. We're gonna get someone to open the door, and we can go out at the bra place here and along the veranda and in that room. And if you've got a child that you need to have with you, that area is fenced off, so it's actually safe for you to take your child with you, and they can run as long as you keep your eyes on them. But it's safe. They can't escape. And I want us to begin to pray. I want us to pray because I want to see God move in miraculous ways. Aren't you tired of just sitting here on a Sunday and nothing happens? Yeah, we have worship and Roland preaches amazingly. But guys, I want stuff to happen, man. Otherwise, we might as well go to the church down the road. We can go anywhere we like, but I want to see God come in our meetings, in our times together. I enjoy Vaughan's comms. They often pray there, and they've seen things happen there. I want to see things happening. You see, when we pray, we haven't come just to consume. We've come to give out. Our whole walk is for the benefit of those who don't know Jesus. Not for us. You and me, it's for those that don't know Jesus. Those things where we bump into people, where we get the opportunity to speak to people, and we're asking God, Lord, make a way for us to be able to spend time just ministering to people. We can't be those that just consume. So I'm going to jump all that stuff because I can carry on next week. This is going to be a bit of a series. Acts 13:22, we all read it. God removed Saul. I'm not going to go into big teaching. He removed him for partial obedience. He was given a job to do, and he did it half. While we traveled 5,500 kilometers now while we did this ministry trip. And it's so funny, you see people on the side of the road. Like there's one guy working and the other five oaks are watching him. It's like, hey, come on. Partial obedience. You're not doing what you should do. And so in Acts 2 verse 37, and now they heard this and they were cut to the heart. This must cut you to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. First thing, if you don't know Jesus, you haven't repented. If you're here this morning, this evening, this afternoon, whatever the time is, if you are here and you have not repented, let's bow our heads. Let's make it easier. People, I don't know why, they're afraid to respond to God. And God is a God of response. He wants us to respond. He doesn't want us to sit back and not partake in what He's got for us. So if you've never repented, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, and there's no cutoff limit in terms of age, but if you're here and you've never made Jesus Lord, I wonder if you could stick your hand up. I want to pray with you this afternoon. If you're here and you've never done that, think about it. Have you done it? Is He Lord of your life or is He just Savior? Savior saved you, but Lord is He totally owns you. He reigns over your life. Are you like that today? Is there anyone who hasn't repented? Repent and be baptized. I've had the privilege of being at quite a few of your baptisms, which is a wonderful thing. But if you are here this afternoon and you've never been baptized, and by being baptized, I mean fully submerged, fully under the water, totally covered, cut off from the world. The picture is the Egyptians are chasing the Israelites. The Israelites go through the Red Sea and the Egyptians follow them, but God wipes them out with the Red Sea. That's the picture of baptism. The world, Egypt, the world is going to chase you until you are baptized. Is there anyone that's never been baptized and you'd like to be baptized? Maybe you're hiding undercover here. Put your hand up. Come on. There we go. I wonder if you just come to the front. We'll pray for you and then we'll organize it. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Never been baptized? Okay, now the last part of this, where we always forget, it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift. God is giving it to you. God is giving you the Holy Spirit as a gift. If someone gives you a gift and they ask you to pay for it, that's not a gift. I'll give it back. Am I right? A gift is something that you're given for free. And so we want to pray for you if you've never received this gift of the Holy Spirit. Guys, there are people that resist the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those are the ones that I'm worrying about today. If you're here and you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, if you've never prayed in tongues, whoa, what's that? It's just when you use your heavenly language. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, I wonder if you'd stick your hand up. Come, Dean. That's amazing. I just love it when God comes and He moves on people's hearts. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Don't miss the opportunity. It might be a long time before this call is given again. Okay, if there's no one there, I wonder if we could all stand up now, because all of us need the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And I'm going to pray now that the Holy Spirit would come in power. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, why don't we go like this? For me, it's like a funnel. Come down in your Lord. Holy Spirit, come right now among your people in the wonderful name of Jesus. Touch them, fill them, help them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Where there's dryness, pour out on their life, Lord. Where people are suffering, going through difficult times, Lord, your Holy Spirit is here to help us. And I just pray right now, relationally, that you would help us, Lord, with our hearts and our emotions and our minds. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us. Help us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.